Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners presented by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. In this episode, my colleagues Lori Baker and Peter Madsen talk about immigration offenses relating to unlawfully entering or remaining in the United States. Lori and Pete highlight the important pieces of information needed to effectively apply 2L1.2 and identify existing commission resources that might be of particular use to practitioners. Without further ado, here's Lori and Peter.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, good morning, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great here in Washington, D.C.
So we're going to talk about immigration today, right?
We are, which I think it's probably a good idea that we hit immigration. As most people know, the data from 2024, we had roughly 61,000 federal cases, and 30% of those cases involved immigration offenses. Now that includes, like, you know, the harboring, transporting illegal aliens, illegal reentry, fraudulently acquiring U.S. passports. But we're not going to cover all that today, I don't think, right?
No. I think that'd be a little too much. I think over the years that I've been looking at our data, I think immigration offenses usually comes in somewhere around 30% and is either the number one or the number two highest type of offense. It interchanges with drugs from year to year. But there are a lot of districts that have a lot of immigration cases, right? So these are very district-specific types of cases.
Yeah, I agree. I think those five border districts, you got Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, Western Texas, and Southern Texas, they make up a vast majority of those immigration-type offenses.
Yeah, but we've been getting some more inquiries about immigration guidelines because they're being prosecuted in some different districts now, more so than in the past. So there are people out there who have never really experienced immigration cases or the immigration guidelines, or maybe haven't used them much in the past, that need a refresher. So this is kind of a timely topic for us.
I agree. I think, and it's also, I think in June of 2025, just a month or so ago, the new data from the first or second quarter here at the commission shows immigration was about 34.7%. So we're already seeing a little bit of an uptick in immigration type offenses.
So what type of offenses do you want to talk about today?
I think we should just focus on the 2L1.2, the illegal reentry after deportation guideline. I think that makes up the vast majority of immigration offenses throughout the country.
Yeah, I think so too. So let's talk about the things that people really need to know in order to apply that guideline effectively.
Right. And I think just from the get-go here, we're not going to go through, I think, every nuance with this guideline. I think we just want to cover the high points of, hey, I've got a new immigration case. What information do I need to have before I actually go through and calculate the guideline? And I think there's a couple things that you definitely need to know. Number one, whether or not the defendant has prior convictions for illegal entry or removal. We also need to know the date of the first order of removal or deportation. And then the way the immigration guideline is actually set up, there's three different specific offense characteristics. One talks about the defendant's prior illegal entry or reentry offenses. But the two specific offense characteristics under 2L1.2B2 and B3 reflect the defendant's criminal history prior to that first order of removal or deportation. And then the second specific offense characteristic is capturing that criminal conduct that happened after the defendant was ordered removed and illegally came back into the country again.
Right. So much of this guideline really is based on criminal history. So even though we talk a lot about how you need to apply the manual in order when you're doing guideline work, this is one of those unique situations where you really have to calculate criminal history before you can know which specific offense characteristics apply here.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think even more importantly, not only do you need to know the defendant's prior criminal history, but these criminal history convictions have to be scorable and accountable for those specific offense characteristics in B1, B2, and B3 to apply.
So they need to be within the proper time limitations and of the right classification or type of offense to be scored.
Exactly.
Under the criminal history rules.
Exactly.
All right. What about that first order of removal? What do we need to know about that?
I think that's a good place to start. So the first information that you really need to know is the first order and date the actual removal, not when they actually left the United States and went to Mexico, but the actual order itself. What date was that entered in? That's what we're looking at.
So what about those times, you know, I recall seeing cases where I'm reading through the immigration file and I see that this person attempted to cross the border multiple times in the past and they were just turned back at the border, voluntary return. There's a lot of different names for those types of things that can happen. Do those come into play here?
I'm glad you asked that question. So it actually has to be an order, not a voluntary return where they're simply being turned around and sent back to the country of origin. We're looking at the actual order from an immigration judge.
Okay, great. So that's the critical date that we need to look at. And then moving on to those criminal history pieces, you've already indicated we need to look at convictions that are scorable under the rules in Chapter 4 prior to that first order and then subsequent to that first order, right?
That's correct. And I think it's also important to note, we're looking at when the criminal conduct occurred. So again, you could have criminal conduct occur before the first order of deportation, or you could have criminal conduct occur after that order of deportation. But you still, like you said, those have to be countable and scorable criminal history convictions as well.
And you can have both of those things, right? You
right.
might have an increase under B2 and B3, and you might have a prior illegal reentry offense. So you may end up having all of these things apply in one case.
Yes, very much so.
All right. I think that pretty much covers what we need to know to apply the guideline, but let's talk a little bit about what resources we have to help people who are new to these types of cases. We just recently did an Adobe Connect virtual training, right?
Correct. And that covers a couple different guidelines, the 2L1.1 and 1.2. So the smuggling guideline, and then the guideline that we're just talking about here, the illegal reentry after deportation.
So if you weren't able to be with us to see that program live when we aired it a couple of weeks ago, we will get that posted to our website. We actually have all of our previously recorded Adobe Connect sessions on the website that you can access. If you don't have an Adobe Connect account, we can get you hooked up with that so that you could watch that training. But what other resources do we have that might help people?
Well, certainly we mentioned earlier, criminal history is huge in this guideline. So we have our e-learning on criminal history. We also have several one-pagers. And in fact, one of the one-pagers we have is very specific to the 2L1.2 guideline, where it walks you through each of the specific offense characteristics and kind of walks through the different levels based upon the sentence that was imposed for those criminal convictions.
Great. And I think we did a criminal history Adobe Connect program in the past as well. That is probably...
There's multiple programs that'd be certainly beneficial.
All right. Anything else you can think of?
No, I'm hoping that people will take the time to take a look at some of those Adobe programs. It'll certainly get into more in the weeds, but I think our overall structure today, we're just trying to give you the basics. Hey, I've got a new immigration guideline. What information am I really looking for? And hopefully this will help get that ball rolling.
Great. And as we always say, when we wrap up these conversations, we've got our helpline. So get in touch with us, preferably through our online submission form. Send in your question and we certainly will get back to you and help you out with any questions you have.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Pete.
Sure thing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify to stay up to date. If you've got a question for the helpline or want to access any of the resources discussed in this episode, you can find us at ussc.gov. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and is not binding upon the Commission, Court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.